As the Lord shall be pleased to help me, I shall call your attention to a subject you will find in Psalm 46, verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Psalm 46 and the 11th verse. This is a great statement for a sinner born again to be helped to proclaim. And sooner or later, every sinner who is born again enters into the wonderful reality that the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. And you all know the word Selah means, mark well, think upon it. And you can begin by thinking upon it as to whether you can make this statement before God with whom you have to do. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Which is a wonderful mercy. If God does make this known to any of us. And now I want, as the Lord to help me, to look at the subject from two or three viewpoints of it. And I do want to say something that will encourage you to hope in God. This psalm is very familiar to you all. I have no doubt many of you could recite it from memory. How many of you know it by heart, which is another matter altogether? And there is one very striking thing about this psalm. There is no preacher, though he is ordained of God to preach, who can tell you who the psalmist was. The Spirit of God has not revealed who the psalmist was. But that is not an important matter to be known. But it does help us sometimes when the name of the psalmist is not set forth, because it makes it plain that the psalmist, whoever he was, being inspired of God to pen the psalm, what is set forth in the psalm will fit in with any age until time shall be no more. The opening word is striking. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. It is a wonderful word picture of a great time of trouble in the earth and much chaos and confusion. And I was impressed in my mind with the margin reading, because it is most significant of the age in which you and I are living. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth change. And now, this age is indeed an age of change. Sometimes in some matters, it almost seems to be working in people's mind like a mania, that this and that which has served the nation well and served people well for long, long years must be changed. Things must be altered. Landmarks must be removed. Boundaries altered. Change, change, change. Every day you read the news, you will find this and that is to be changed. And some of these so-called changes are making much havoc in the land in which you and I are living. And they are not only changes in how the nation is to be governed, changes in the world at large which affect us, but this spirit of change has crept in, alas, into the Church of Christ, professing so that many things that our forefathers lived and died for, they must be changed, and things must be brought more up to date, fitted in with the times in which we are living, so men tell us, so that they would, if they could, even change the things of God. But there God has said, thus far shalt thou go, and no further. Orders of worship may be changed, and denominations may unite one with each other and think with such a change they will do something more worthwhile. But the Word of God does not commend it. And you and I, if we are taught of God, we must ever start, and we must finish too, with what saith the Scriptures. And there the Scriptures will tell us what we are to do and how it is to be done, and that God has provided his divine aid to do it, and that in the Word of God there is a pattern drawn by a divine hand as to how the Church of Christ shall be governed and conducted by those within it to the honor and glory of God. Remembering the Savior's words, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And here, while the psalmist many years ago, hundreds of years before Jesus Christ was born, tells of this time, though the earth change, though things are no longer as they have been for so long, and man has made much alteration in the world, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And if you're helped to realize that, you will find the word I have read for the text will be a sweet, blessed reality in your soul's experience. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. And now, I will look first of all at the word in, the Lord of hosts is with us. And that means the presence of God. And now, dear friends, here we are before God. We are dying creatures with never-dying souls, and we do want to have some sure work wrought in our souls by the Spirit of God. And this will be the outstanding characteristic of what the Spirit of God will make known in our everyday lives if He has a favor toward us. The presence of God will be known and felt in greater or less degree. And to any sinner taught of God, it is the presence of God, known and felt, which spells happiness worth the name. In thy presence I am happy. In thy presence I'm secure. In thy presence all affliction I can easily endure. And how glad you have been sometimes to sing our hymn, "Not all the good earth can afford is equal to thy presence, Lord, our fainting hearts to cheer. Abide with us, Lord, with us dwell, then come what will, it shall be well. 'Tis well if thou art near." The Lord of hosts is with us. And now, how is this to be known, the presence of God? You may say, I should like to know somewhat of it. I hope I have known a little. I should like to know much more than I have yet been favored to realize. What are the characteristics of the presence of God? One evidence, a very sure evidence, of the presence of God being with us is that the things of God will be very attractive to us. The things of God will take precedence of all other things beneath the sun. And that doesn't happen every day. No. Oh, you find sometimes in everyday life that time things seem uppermost and predominate. And Satan may suggest to you that you have your life to live, you have your family to train and bring up, your household to run, your business to conduct, your life to live. And it will take up your time and your thoughts. But there is another viewpoint of it than what Satan will suggest. Fear him, ye saints, and you will then have nothing else to fear. Make you his service your delight. Your wants shall be his care. And now some of you can look back over life's journey and remember times when the things of God were a reality to you. The Word of God, how you felt to look into the sacred pages with avidity, and how concerned you were in searching the Scriptures, if so be you could get some light on the dealings of God with you, something to assure you and bear witness with your spirit that you were born of God. another thing which will assure you about the presence of God, and that is a very sure test too. You will have an answer immediately when you are asked, what think ye of Christ? You will know the preciousness of Jesus Christ in all that he is, all that he has done, all that he is doing still as the sinner's friend. And to ponder these things in your heart, like Mary did, will be to you as meat and drink in your soul's feelings. And it will be said of you, and you can say it for yourself, I have meat to eat which the world knows not of. Another thing to assure you of the presence of God being with you is when you are concerned that God should be first. I have often admired, I say that with great reverence, in how the Word of God begins. It is very striking. In the beginning, God. And now when the Lord of hosts is with us, that is just what you want in all that you do, wherever you go, or whatever you say. In the beginning, God. In other words, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. And in the steps you take, you want thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And if you cannot feel the presence of God with you in taking a step, you desire to stand still until the cloud moves, and then you have the realization of the presence of God going before you, and you follow on with willing feet. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And I was thinking on this subject, and in regard to the children of Israel in their wilderness wanderings, what was the evidence that God gave to them as a nation that he was indeed with them? The presence of God was in their midst. When Israel were encamped and the tabernacle was set up, the cloud ascended from above the mercy seat, the holy of holies, and it spread like a cloud over all the camp. And every morning an Israelite, it would be an Israelite indeed most of all concerned about it, could go to his tent door and look toward the tabernacle and see the cloud still ascending from above the mercy seat and spreading over the camp altogether. And he could say, the Lord of hosts is with us. The cloud was the evidence, because God declared that he would go before them by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And that was the evidence that they were being led aright toward the promised land. And if you have a map of the wanderings of the children of Israel, you will be surprised if you examine it carefully, because sometimes they seem to be retracing their footsteps and going backward and not onward toward the land of promise. But still the cloud was leading them whichever way it was. And do remember this: it was only where the cloud was that the manna fell. and they could drink of the water from the rock that followed them as it flowed along the desert. Why? And you will only find the Word of God and the Gospel to be a reality in your soul's experience and be as bread which strengtheneth a man's heart, and you will only be able to drink of this river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High, as the cloud has moved, that you should be where you are. In that place, the Lord will be with you, and he will bless you. It is good to have sure evidences that the Lord of hosts is with us. And I have thought that for people taught of God nowadays, living under the gospel, not like Israel of old in their wilderness wanderings, there is still, as it were, the equivalent, mark the wording, the equivalent of the cloud that goes before us by day and is a pillar of fire by night. And that is the written Word of God and the incarnate Word of God, of whom the written word tells. I've already quoted, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path." And you will find every step you take in following on to know the Lord, it is set forth in detail in the sacred pages of the Word of God. Whether it be a sad experience, a glad experience, whatever the nature of it, you will find what set the scriptures will give you light upon it. And as you search the scriptures, you will find, as in water face answereth unto face, so does the heart of man to man. And thus, by the waymarks that you set up in the Ebenezers, you raise in trouble, when you realize the help of God manifested toward you, you have a sure guarantee. The Lord of hosts is with us. And how sometimes you will feel like godly David when he said, "For this God is our God forever and ever, and he will be our guide even unto death." The Lord of hosts is with us. And now there is another viewpoint of the presence of God, not only with us as we live our everyday lives, but the presence of God is made manifest in the Church of Christ. I mean the Church of Christ possessing. There is a word in the Revelations, a very striking word, "who walketh in the midst of the golden candlesticks." And now the golden candlesticks, godly John tells us in the book of Revelation, are the churches. And Jesus Christ, as the church's living head, walks in the midst of the churches. Dear friends, you might think that over before God when you have some leisure time to do so and ponder it in your heart. It tells us that whatever is happening in any church, wherever it is, thinking of our own denominational life more especially, is that most of all affects us. Jesus Christ, as the church's living head, walks in the midst of the golden candlesticks. Whether that church be just a few, in number or whether it be larger, as the case may be, God is cognizant of all that goes on. I do not think that solemn truth is realized as it should be. And it needs weighing up before God. It should bring home to us how great is our responsibility to be linked up to the Church of Christ in membership, having our name on a church roll, having made a profession to be a follower of the meek and lowly Jesus. And godly John tells us that Jesus Christ, as the church's living head, walketh in the midst of the golden candlesticks. You see how good it would be if everyone inside a church and other people who fear God outside who ought to be in, if they could think every day as they live their lives, "Thou God seest me," for he does, whether you realize it or not. So that wherever the Church of Christ is made manifest, the presence of God is there. You do not always realize it to your soul's peace and profit. But even if you do not, Jesus Christ is present as the church's living head. Remember that. And regarding what is a church, to make that plain, as the Lord shall help me, what constitutes a church? It is nothing whatever to do with bricks and mortar. There may be beautiful cathedrals and churches, and there are, but they're only buildings. And the day will come when they will be no more. And wherever a building is set up for the worship of God, the worship of God is only known and felt in that building as Jesus Christ is there. This is what constitutes a church, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And now that is nothing whatever to do with a building. Think of those of whom the Apostle Paul tells us and how they worship God. There was no beautiful architecture to make the church a thing pleasing to the eye, or a cathedral, as the case might be. They worship God in dens and caves of the earth. And the presence of God was known there, because the Word of God tells us they did it by faith. "The Lord of hosts is with us," they could say. Oh, they felt his presence warming their hearts, encouraging them to endure in their profession of the name of God. And to amplify that, this thought occurred to my mind. When a tabernacle was set up in the midst of Israel's camp, the worship of God was carried on therein. All the while, the cloud rose from above the mercy seat, spreading over Israel's camp. When that cloud lifted up and moved on, then the tabernacle had to be taken down. And it was only then a tent and all to do with it, and the furniture in the holy place and the Holy of Holies was just carried by the Levites, and it was only furniture. The presence of God was no longer there. The cloud had moved. And now that is what I'm aiming to emphasize before you. The Church of Christ is to do with where two or three are gathered together, wherever that may be, indoors or outdoors. God regards that as a church. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. The Lord of hosts is with us. And now, leaving that viewpoint of the subject, let us look at this wording. The Lord of hosts. And it is well, as grace is given, to contemplate him as the Lord of hosts. He is the Lord of hosts, dear friends. He has hosts of angels, elect angels, myriads of them, and they do his bidding. And the Apostle Paul gives us light upon it in the epistle to the Hebrews, speaking of the angels. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister unto them who should be heirs of salvation? Think of the world at the present time with hell let loose in it, in the devil apparently doing as he pleases with mankind. But what the devil does not realize is that the Lord of hosts is at work, and his angels are going hither and thither at his behest to help poor sinners, following on to know the Lord, doing his bidding, doing it willingly. The Lord of hosts is with us. And you often read in the Word of God about how angels were used by God to intervene in times of testing and trouble. And Anselm tells us, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Hosts of angels, dear friends. And as regards the hosts of men on the earth, the hearts of all are in the hand of God to dispose as he pleases. Man may say, I shall be doing this or that, but God can deal with that man who speaks like that, and he will not be allowed to do what he purposes, but do something that God purposes. God is greater than man. So that you can say, I will not fear what man should do unto me, seeing God has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man should do unto me. And all because the Lord of hosts is with us. And it might be said, the Lord of hosts, he can deal, and he does, with the hosts of hell. Oh, they come forth from the gates of hell with hellish fury, fighting against God and godliness, and seeking to do all the mischief they can. But the Word of God tells us this, and there we take our stand. In this was the Son of God made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And he gave us a guarantee that it should be done when on Calvary's cross that wondrous word went forth, it is finished. It is finished, cried the Lord in his dying minute. Holy Ghost, repeat the word. Full salvation's in him. So that the Lord of hosts is with us. Therefore, you can understand the psalmist saying, therefore will not we fear. Fear what man may do, or what hell itself may do. But then there is just another thought here that might help some of you. The Lord of hosts, and now, in your everyday life, as you journey on, you have hosts of circumstances. And sometimes you were worn down, brought low, as you contemplate these circumstances, because they seem to be all so complicated, and you were well nigh overwhelmed. You were brought to your wit's end, and all your wisdom is swallowed up. And now the Lord of hosts is with us, whatever our circumstances may be. And what is he guaranteed to do? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So these circumstances, as the Lord of hosts takes control, they dovetail in. And you can look back over your life, some of you, to when you were in complicated circumstances and you had to say, oh Lord, we know not what to do, but our eyes are up unto thee. And what did he do? Oh, he did what he declares he will ever do. I will lead the blind by a way that they know not, and in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. The Lord of hosts is with us. What a beautiful line of things it is. But now I must look at the other side of this subject. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Sometimes when you were doing what you were singing about in our opening hymn, I hope you will often be doing it as every opportunity is afforded you. When saint to saint in days of old their sorrows, sins, and sufferings told, Jesus, the friend of sinners dear, was present and to bless them here. And now, when you have been speaking one with another of the things of God, and one has said something about a special experience that he or she entered into, you have been able to say, and I likewise have found the same thing in the dealings of God with me. You found your experiences dovetailed in, and you could walk together in agreement in the things of God, and you came into the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And now it is like that, not only in speaking one to another, but in looking into the Word of God itself. Have you ever thought of that viewpoint of truth? Here, God is declared to be the God of Jacob. It has always been a matter of amazement to me that God should ever condescend, I say that with great reverence, to link up his name with a poor sinner and call him by his name. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob? Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And so you can work it out. And here in the text, the God of Jacob. And now, I'm sure all of you taught of God know quite a deal about Jacob's life. I've said sometimes, you will remember it, although your memories are bad according to what you say, but they're not so bad as you say. I look upon Jacob as a representative character, so that you will find that in the book of Genesis, there are many chapters giving us details of Jacob's life, and both the dark side and the bright side. But it is to make plain the God of Jacob. And what a God he is. Long-suffering, forbearing. And yet the word of God tells us, Jacob have I loved. But as he was as a man, he was not lovable. He had got some kinks in his character that are not good to read about. But then you and I cannot throw stones at Jacob. All of us have got kinks. There are streaks in people's characters that come out sometimes in certain circumstances arising from what they are by nature. And it is very evident as you read the life of Jacob what his character as a man really was, that he was deceitful, naturally. And he is called a supplanter. But then, Jacob was a sinner taught of God. And he had a beautiful start to his religion when he laid down to sleep with pillows, stones for his pillows, and then had that wondrous dream of the ladder with its foot on the earth and its top in heaven itself, and the Lord standing above it, and to see the angels of God ascending and descending. A wondrous dream it was to Jacob. And the wonder is that he ever forgot it. There were times when he did not live as though he was remembering it. But you will call to mind that in his later life, God said to him, arise, go back to Bethel, get you again to where you were at the ladder's foot, and see how matters are there between the Lord and you. Go back to Bethel. Just what you and I want to do, dear friends, at times. Go back to our beginnings and search them out and be confirmed that they were of God. It will help you to continue. So it was with Jacob when he was in circumstances so complicated that he knew not what to do, but God told him, arise, go back to Bethel, and there I will deal with you. And you and I, as grace is given, we must get back to Bethel. You may say, but then Bethel was especially to do with Jacob. How can that be applicable to us? Oh, but the word of God says that it is applicable. There is a word in Hosea that will tell you, and it is a great word to consider, where Hosea tells us about Bethel, and he says, there he spake with us. not just to Jacob. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. Listen, he found him in Bethel, he, and there he spake with us. So that what is recorded concerning Jacob will help you in the dealings of God with you to learn that the God of Jacob is your refuge too. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. But I want you to keep in mind that the dealings of God with Jacob throughout his life, I cannot work it out in detail because of the time, but as he went on living his life after he was born again at the ladder's foot, as it were, God so wrought with him by means of discipline in his dealings that it was to crucify what he was as a man, a deceiver. And he found often in his earlier life especially that as he sowed, so he reaped. He deceived his godly father, yes, and then later on Jacob was deceived again and again. He was deceived by that scamp of a Laban regarding his wife. And 10 times did Laban change his wages, and Jacob was deceived in what Laban had promised. And Laban was not well behaved with regard to Jacob. But you see, what could Jacob say about it when he thought of what his own behavior was? And his own children deceived him in regard to the matter of Joseph. And when that was found out, what could Jacob say when he thought how he followed his mother's advice and deceived his godly father Isaac too? When he was young, these things come back. They are like rods that are grown up in the garden that God afterwards uses to chasten you with the same. But now, notwithstanding it all, God was the God of Jacob. And look you, Jacob was a godly man. And when he was at his best, it was an outstanding best. And it is good to read of Jacob what he was by grace. He had troubles come into his life when he needed this. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear. When Laban pursued him, the Lord appeared for Jacob and delivered him. When he learned that Esau was coming with 400 men and they would all be armed, Jacob had his fears then, but the Lord appeared on his behalf and he granted to Jacob an outstanding experience, for there wrestled a man, capital M, with him till the break of the day. Yes, and Jacob was allowed to prevail. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And he blessed him there. And then you go on, and Esau comes with his 400 men, and he meets Jacob with a kiss, not a sword thrust. This is how things work out. And what was Jacob's strength? strong point in how we pleaded with God. Just two words. And you see if you got these two words in the dealings of God with you. Thou saidst. He reminded God, so to speak. God does not need reminding, but he likes his people to say, remember the word on which thou hast caused thy servant to hope. And Jacob said, thou saidst, I will surely do thee good. Therefore, can Esau put me to death and rob me of all that I possess? The thing is impossible. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And there was one thing that came into Jacob's life, I should think he would never have forgotten that. And that was, as he went to go on his way, the angels of God met him and made, as it were, a guard of honor on either side for him to go on his way. And Jacob called the name of that place Mahanaim, which means, this is God's host. In other words, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Mark that pronoun, our. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Is he? Oh, that he may be. And you be sure that you are inside it as grace is given. They that in the Lord confide and shelter in his wounded side shall see all dangers overpassed, stand every storm, and live at last. The God of Jacob. And you will find as you search the scriptures, not only was he the God of Jacob, but many more whose lives are recorded. And in searching the scriptures, you will find help, encouragement, comfort, and most of all, instruction. You will find there is beautiful and blessed teaching in the way God leads you along. And if at times you cannot be sure about the way you are in, when we cannot see our way, let us trust and still obey. He who bids us forward go will not fail the way to show. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah, think upon it. Can I say amen to this blessed declaration? Mark well, inside the refuge is safety. Outside, even in the near vicinity of it, you will be lost. Amen.